I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Stephen Moore, who's the chief economist at Heritage Foundation and also author of the book Trumponomics: Inside the America First Plan to Revive Our Economy. Stephen Moore, great to speak with you again this week.
Hi, Annie.
Hello. Are you having a good week? Is the economy still firing on all cylinders as you expected it to be?
Well, you know, every time I think things can't quite get better, they certainly seem to. And the latest consumer spending numbers came out a few days ago, and they show a continued, you know, rapid expansion. And, you know, there were a lot of talks about maybe, you know, that the recovery has come to an end, but it sure hasn't. I don't know if you saw Elizabeth Warren today put out this missive about how, you know, another financial crisis right around the corner and so on. I think the only thing that could cause a financial crisis right now would be if Elizabeth Warren were elected president.
Yeah, I could definitely see that happening. I think it's interesting, too, when we continue to get this good news on the economy, there are still some things that might be holding back the actual magnitude of how well this economy could be doing. Some trade deals, some interest rates. What do you think is on the horizon for what happens next regarding those issues?
So the trade, by the way, I agree with you. And you know, I'm pretty bullish on the U.S. economy. I think we're going to continue to see solid growth. And so I'm optimistic about where we are right now. But I also agree with you that the two clouds are the trade dispute with China, which is turning into a trade war. And, you know, I think Trump is doing the right thing here in fighting against China. They're the bad actors here. They're the ones who are, cheating and stealing. But, you know, it's hard to predict, you know, where that's going to end up. I still think that we're going to get a deal done with China, but it's you know, the ball is in Beijing's court, and there's nothing that Trump is asking for that's unreasonable. They should stop, stealing our intellectual property, and they should open up their markets to the United States and stop spying on us. I mean, we can't continue with that abusive relationship. So I'm going to put the odds at about 65% we get a trade deal done with China before the end of the year. And then, you know, the rate cuts, it looks like there can be happening in the next week or so. So that would be a very positive thing. I've been arguing, Matt, for, you know, 6 months that the Fed has to lower rates to get more dollar liquidity in the economy because, you know, there's a big demand for dollars as Trump does the right thing. So, yeah, I don't see any stop signs right now on this economy. I mean, a few little speed bumps, but, you know, this is the difference between having a community organizer and a businessman in the White House.
Yeah, for sure. Regarding China, you used the term trade war, potentially moving to that direction. But you also kind of illustrated how the conversation that is taking place between Donald Trump and the United States and China and President Xi is not just about money. There are a lot of other security things that are being put into this conversation that need to be addressed. And I can't remember who the person who was that said it, but was talking about how everything can't only ever be based on economic decisions, what's best for the economy. Is there a lot of this China conversation that exists outside of just what's economically the best for the United States?
That's a good question. I mean, I think that it's primarily on the economic questions of tariffs and, the threat of our, stolen property, which, by the way, they steal about $300 billion a year every year. So it's hard to have a free trade agreement with a country that steals. But I do think that there are real security issues as well. I mean, you know, China is becoming an increasing national security threat. They're building up their military. They're, as I said, they're hacking into our computer systems. They're spying on us. Yeah, you know, this is almost a new Cold War. And so that does, I think you're right, I think that does play a part in these negotiations to make sure that they're not, you know, violating American safety and our security. And you know, you see what's happening around the region in the South China Sea, where they're, you know, definitely saber-rattling when it comes to India, when it comes to Taiwan, and other countries in that region are becoming more fearful of a more militant China.
We're speaking with Stephen Moore. He's the chief economist at Heritage Foundation. I have to ask you, I mean, I can't even tell the story without chuckling to myself, but Bernie Sanders moving to $15 minimum wage for the people working on his campaign, and then admits that he's going to have to significantly cut hours in order to make that happen. How does a guy want to become the president, do it on a socialist platform, and champion the $15 minimum wage? In turn, no extra money is going to come out of his business to the people who are working for him. In fact, it could actually end up being punitive to his workers. It just seems like this should be kind of a DOA issue for the Bernie Sanders campaign and trying to communicate that to the American people.
Boy, it's a big problem for him, isn't it? And, you know, it's typical liberalism, though. I mean, how many times have we seen this, Annie, where, you know, with liberals, it's do as I say, not as I do, right? I mean, they're hypocrites. Liberals are hypocrites. They want us to live by standards they won't live by themselves. But, you know, I got to say, he does almost a service to the country by, you know, illustrating how damaging a minimum wage can be. Because, yeah, some workers get additional wages, but other workers either lose their jobs or get lower, you know, number of hours that they can work. And so there are always trade-offs here. And, you know, the House voted last week to raise the minimum wage to $15 an hour. I mean, we don't need that. We've got, because of the strong Trump economy and the huge surplus number of jobs, businesses are already raising their wages. You know, you've seen this with Walmart and Walgreens and Target and FedEx and a lot of the, you know, fast food restaurants and the retailers. They're having to raise their wages so they can retain and recruit good workers. And that's exactly what we wanted to happen. You know, when we did the tax cut for Trump, you know, we designed it so it would create a tight labor market. And I'm all for workers getting more pay, but I want to make sure it's done through the free market system and not through government mandates.
I completely agree with you. And when the government, the economy is booming, we see those wages going up. I want to ask,
yeah.
Is there
about 3.1% over the last year, and that's with very little inflation in the economy. And then you take into account higher benefits that people are getting and bonuses. You know, it's a good time to be a middle class worker, and that's why when I hear Elizabeth Warren and Kamala Harris and Bernie Sanders talk about how bad things are, I'm like, well, what country are you talking about?
Yeah. That's a different reality for sure. Is there a Democratic candidate in the 2020 race right now that you think wouldn't drastically put a halt to the economic success that the Trump administration has seen?
You know, I'm trying to think. I mean, none of the front runners. This congressman from Maryland, Delaney.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd say he's probably the most level-headed, but he's at, you know, 1% or something, you know. So it's sad. I mean, you know, it's interesting. I was at this conference this weekend, it's called Freedom Fest, and, you know, it was about 2,000 liberty lovers and people believe in free enterprise and free markets. And, you know, I spoke, it was one of the keynote speakers, and I talked about how odd it is. And, you know, when you think about it, it is odd that we have, you know, we have the best economy, you know, in 30 years. We have got, you know, 7 million surplus jobs, lowest unemployment rate in 50 years. You know, I don't have to recite those numbers. You just recited yourself. And yet, at this very time, we've got this beautiful, wonderful economy where millions of people want to come into the United States to get some of these jobs. And all these investors around the world want to invest here. At this very moment, the liberals are out there talking about we need socialism. It's the most bizarro thing I've ever seen. I mean, it's one thing if our economy were crippled, but we're booming right now.
Stephen Moore with the Heritage Foundation is with us. Let me ask you this. At Freedom Fest this weekend, was that the one that was in Vegas?
Yes.
Okay. So
we need to get you out there next year.
Yeah, you do. That'd be fantastic. I'll go to Vegas. That sounds like a place to make a lot of good economical decisions. Are you seeing this economic message translate to a younger generation yet? Because millennials tend to skew maybe a little bit more towards the left, but every year millennials are getting a little bit older and a little more hopefully independent and responsible for different things in their lives. Do young people understand how good the economy is right now?
You know, I was looking at some of the polling, Annie, or the internal polling the RNC has put out, and Trump is just getting crushed with millennials. He only has about 20% of the millennials, and it's a gigantic gap. And it's hard to understand. So I think the answer to your question has to be no. I don't think they appreciate how good this is and how bad things can be when you get policies wrong. So, you know, Trump has to really figure out how to get more of these young people to realize this is about as good as it can get with an economy. And if you start messing with socialism and Medicare for all and Green New Deal, you could cripple this economy. I think there's an education job here. I mean, look, we're responsible for this. We talked a lot about this at Freedom Fest. You know, why is it that young people believe so many dumb things today? And I think the answer is that it's a product of their products of our education system. You know, 50 years ago, we allowed the left to take over our school system. The National Education Association, the teachers' union, is the most liberal group in America. And these are the people who are teaching our kids. And, you know, one of the comments that was made at this conference, you know, which I thought was so great, you know, was that, you know, the purpose of schools and our education system is to teach kids how to think. And yet what our schools are doing now is teaching kids what to think. And that's problematic, you know, because people should be able to make up their mind. Our schools should not be warehouses of indoctrination.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And the trying to open up the mind so that you can pour all of these specific thoughts into it is a really big tragedy. I hear so many people who have, you know, conservative-minded homes to some varying degree, and they get their kids back. They don't even recognize them from what they have experienced when they go to a four-year school. And I think it definitely has a major lasting impact on these kids. Last question for
it
you.
It does. I mean, we're seeing that now. We're paying a high price for it. We have to take back our schools. We have to give... You know, parents all over, you know, should be get more involved and listen to what they're, and the stuff is, in indoctrination begins in the second grade. I mean, the climate change and all of this stuff, I mean, it's just day after day after day, they drill this into these kids, and then that's churning out people who think like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last question for you, Stephen Moore. Is it possible that the economy being as good as it is right now, does that become a luxury for young people to not have something really tangible to compare it to?
I think the answer is yes. I think you're exactly right. I think, you know, they don't know better, and because all they've seen is, you know, good times, and they think that this is typical. I mean, I lived through the 1970s when the economy crashed, and, you know, a lot of them don't even remember the 2008, 2009 crisis. You know, so they take prosperity for granted. Ladies and gentlemen, this didn't happen by accident. It happened because the American people, in their good wisdom, elected Donald J. Trump president.
Amen. Stephen Moore, thank you so much for coming on with us today. We always appreciate your insight here on The Annie Fry Show.
Okay, talk to you next week. Thanks.
Yep, absolutely.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.